Go. That's Shania Twain with Life is About to Get Good, and it's about to get good in the studio. Now, I'm joined by my guest today, author Nicholas Barrett. He was in, I think it was last year, but I'm trying to think of when you were in last year. Was it last year? Early last year?
I think it was February.
Was it? It's a long time ago. I can recognise your voice a mile off. Now, you came in to talk about your debut work, which was Michaelmas Turn, or Why Is That Boy Naked?
Yes.
Yes.
I did. I did.
Your background is administration. You're also a session drummer, stand-up comedian, and you've always written, and you've also shared a house with a ghost called Mr. Goodman.
I'm still trying to find Mr. Goodman's first name, bless him. I'm doing endless little historical nibblings to try and find out, because it's awful. I keep calling him Mr. Goodman. And I thought, well, he's a friend of mine. I might as well. I need to know what he's called. What's his name?
We're going to talk about Michaelmas Turn, because I want to go back over that as well, just to let people know, because that was a debut. That was the first book.
Yes, indeed.
And you are here with Advent Term, or Snowmen Don't Wear Thermals.
This is true.
So you grew up funny. You've done, as you said, you've done a drummer, and you've also done stand-up comedy, which is just something that must be really frightening. Because for a drummer, you're in the background, and you can sit there, and you've obviously got to be good, which you are, but you're in the background. And so how do you go from being sat behind a drum kit to being in front of an audience doing comedy where you've got nothing to hide behind?
Well, it's very strange. Playing with a band has been great. I always enjoy it. It's you're part of a year, and when it's going well, it goes absolutely superb. It's a bit like flying. Marvellous experience. Stand-up came about in a very strange manner. I was doing the tapes and sound effects for a friend of mine. We were working in Leeds during the early Comic Relief gigs. He couldn't come, and we didn't know this until very late. So with an hour and a half to go, his wife rang and said, look, he's in bed with flu. He's been trampled by llamas or had some hideous accident involving marmalade. I couldn't read her writing, especially not on the phone. And I thought, well, I can't let the charity down. Somebody has to do something. Da-da-da. So I went into the gents and changed into exactly the same clothes as I went in wearing, which confused me, and came out, stole his material, and it went down a storm. It hailed, there was lightning, there was all this sort of stuff, and we managed to get the charity paid, which is it. And I thought, God, I quite enjoyed that. Mm. I didn't die.
Yeah.
It was one of those look over to the right-hand side of the stage and say, Dave, keep the taxi running. There's got a bad crowd tonight. Some were good nights. Stand-up. It is terrifying when you've just got a microphone there.
Yeah.
It's you soon learn to be funny very quickly, and you know within about a few seconds whether it's put the crash helmet on time or
but you can get an audience where you do the same material or find it funny, and then the next night you do the same thing and you can't. It's exactly just
the same with writing. Yes. Some people certainly some of the stuff I've written with the first book, I've had a lot of response from America, and I thought they won't get this because the irony. I love irony and wordplay. I mean, irony, let's take the Carry On films. They finished. That's ironic. Little bits and pieces like that, but I love messing about with things like, if you do actually get hit with a rhythm stick, can you make a claim for personal injury? I borrowed that one, I'm sorry, whoever it is. I'm ashamedly stolen, I care not. But it's just bits and pieces like that, and I thought, will it work over the other side of the Atlantic? And I thought, the chances of them coming to tell me it doesn't are fairly small, so I don't care. So I just write it anyway. But there's quite a lot of silliness in there and serious stuff in this, because I wanted it. It's still a warts and all. We've moved him on. In the latest book, he's 13 years old. Unlucky for some.
Mm. Let's talk about the first book before, because if you didn't hear when Nicholas was on before. So the first debut, when you came in, you'd literally just, the book was just about coming out, wasn't it?
It had just come out,
And it's Michaelmas Term, or in brackets, or Why Is That Boy Naked? So tell everybody about the story, and then we'll talk about Advent Term as well. So tell everybody about the first...
Everybody does that. They say there's no... naked? What? what? And it gets a grin. And if you can grin at that subtitle, yes. Because that's what it's about. There's too much misery about. I'm having none of it.
You would pick this book. The reason that it's a good title, it's very, very clever, is because if you picked it at Michaelmas Term, you might go, oh, and in your mind, you might get conjuring up all sorts. And then you see, or is this boy naked? And that makes you go, oh. So that is a really good sales tool to get people to actually, when they're looking at online or if they're in a bookshop, to actually pick it up and read it.
I do hope so. Well, they're picking it up at the moment. I mean, God bless them. Some of the lovely reviews I've had on it.
Mm.
I mean, I think we're up to about 25 five-star reviews on Amazon.
Yeah.
Which, not up the Amazon.
Yeah.
Whether they've read it, I don't know. There may be some canoe-based people flicking through it as I speak. Yeah, that was an actual incident. There was a gentleman in the school who would not wear a tie. He hadn't got a medical certificate to say he shouldn't, but he refused point blank. We had the Duke of Rutland and I think the Lady Mayoress presenting prizes. He was yanked into the headmaster's office and threatened with bodily harm, you will wear your tie. So he did.
Mm.
Just the tie. I think he lasted about 28 seconds.
Right.
Before he was forcibly removed.
Yes.
But he was a hero. Mm. Still is. I'd love to get back in touch with him.
And that is a true story.
That's a true... There's a lot of true stories in here. I would say a very high percentage, maybe 68% of the stuff.
So tell us about the actual... The character and what the book's about. This for the first one, and then we'll move on to the second one. So this is Michaelmas Term.
The character, very loosely based on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I consider myself a very loose person. Little boy, little village, takes an examination and finds himself catapulted into the world of public school education,
mm-hmm.
which is a marvellous institution who prides itself on delivering the very best standards. They are the pinnacle. No, they're not. It begins with P, but it isn't pinnacle. What they pretend to be isn't quite what they think they ought to be, but what they ought to be isn't what they are. See? How clear was that?
I'm sitting here nodding and shaking my head going, yes.
The walls keep them in. They're not quite sure whether the walls are to keep the public out, because it's a bit like an oyster, you know, a little bit of something awful gets in and can produce something quite beautiful if you're lucky enough. It's full of people who are as mad as a hat full of spoons.
Mm.
Now, we actually discovered this, that the staff at the school were just as mickey-taking as we were. We thought we were bad, but we didn't know they were doing exactly the same thing, but taller, which was great. They put things in the tea urn that would make you run to the loo. They took the straps out of chairs. They wired the staff room door up to a car battery, and I'm thinking...
Good old days.
These are grown-ups, you know, yes. Because I did look up grown-up in the dictionary, and I thought, no, I don't like the sound of that. I'm not going to bother. But, yeah, they were... It was a fertile hunting ground for characters.
Mm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love these people to death. They gave you an education which you don't realise you got until you come to write something. And these are really lovely people. But as I say, they were definite chocolate llama syndrome sufferers. They were quite odd, with a capital O. But it's really his entrance into the system, meeting people of all different social levels. Some of the unpleasant stuff as well, because we were made very aware, us lads from a, shall we say, less privileged background, that we didn't have the right to be there.
Mm.
We were the peasants. So I thought, well, fair enough, you know. And then I thought, hang on, if I give them an H, it's a pheasant, and they shoot those, so I better choose me friends carefully. But that's what we did. Four or five of us stuck together and thought, if we keep a gang, we can survive.
Yeah.
And it was my friend saying that he'd seen the ghost of Gloria Gaynor at the end of his bed one night, and I said, what happened? He said, well, first I was afraid, I was petrified. So
what is the main character of the book?
His name is Nicky Shepherd. Shepherd is our family name, and I've pinched it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sue myself, so I don't care. But the rest of the characters I have changed some of the names. I haven't been able to get in contact with everybody to okay with them, so I didn't think it would be fair. But the heroes stay heroes. We get one or two unlikely kids. I took great pains to highlight some of the bullying, which on occasions was unpleasant. It was vicious.
Yeah.
One of the themes is, if I can help somebody who's been through something like that, or heaven forbid he's going through it like that, by reading the book, this is only how we dealt with it.
Yeah.
But you can get through it. It's not the end of the world. There are ways and means of dealing with these people. But if I can give you a laugh rather than a sleepless night, then that's what I'm here for. But it's nice to go back, if only in your mind's eye, and realise some of the stuff we did, how we got... we should have been arrested or medicated. Oh, did we do that? I mean, you can't do that sort of stuff.
So it's about childhood. It's about things you do as a child. You can read it as an adult. Probably read it as a child and understand. You can read it as an adult and go, oh, my gosh, yes, I can see that. Doesn't matter what school you go to, because the situations are always normally the same. There's always one crazy teacher. There's always one quite violent teacher. Well, it used to be in my day that throws something at you. You probably don't get it so much now. Did you have any female teachers?
We did. Yeah. We had a terrifying lady who taught us French. She looked like Judge Judy. And she was we were terrified of her.
Mm.
If she made a loud breath, we would sort of be writing a will under the desk. Oh, and I'd die. And she was superb, bless her. We didn't have a lady English teacher who was superb, but they gave you a love of, I think that's where I get it from, a love of words and poetry and Shakespeare and all this stuff. Just stuff that you pick up later in life and you think, do you know, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And it gives you this hunger to try and read. Mm. I love reading. I love books. If I can get that interest into any other kid out there, some of the stuff is plain ridiculous. It's meant to be. I mean, there's a lot about the house, the village, the family. It's a very social book as well. It's not just all about a school. And it's how the teachers and people interact or fail to interact outside the school.
Yeah.
These are strange people. We've got some marvellous family characters that come in and come out. I've got a cousin Sheila, bless her, who makes a regular visit. On one occasion turning up with her arm in a sling. And mother explains that she's been involved in a pit explosion. And we're looking at each other going, well, she lives the other side of Nottingham. She's nowhere near a coal face. And mum said, no, apparently her armpit exploded. We don't know what to... We're not quite sure.
I walked into that one, I did. Right, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Advent term or snowmen don't wear thermals.
158 days to Christmas.
Oh, don't you dare.
22 weeks.
No, don't you dare. Don't. Do you like...
Lots of tinsel.
You must be a Christmas person, then. Yes.
Pass me the mince pies.
By author... I was about to call you Mr. Michaelmas. I can't give it that. By all the Nicholas
say.
Barrett, sorry. You know, I'm not very good with my pronunciation. I'm joined by Nicholas Barrett, who has just been talking about Michaelmas term or why is that boy naked. He's got a background in admin. He's a session drummer, or he was. He's a stand-up comedian. And he also shared a house with Mr. Goodman, who was a ghost. So before we talk about Advent term, which is the follow-up to the book, tell us about Mr. Goodman, because there really was a ghost.
There was indeed, yeah. Whether he's still there, I hope he is. When I was a very small boy, I mean, I'd be about 4 or 5, we would hear noises. It was an old farmhouse, converted farmhouse that we lived in, small holding. And we would hear footsteps upstairs, and I think just to stop me being afraid, Mum would say, oh, don't worry about that, it's just Mr. Goodman. So, Mr. Goodman it was, and I thought, well, never seen him, and never did see him. But at the age of about 5, I asked the question, look, where's Mr. Goodman? So, Mum took me into what was then the scullery. We had an old kitchen table in there, and she got some tea towels and some bits and pieces that had been washed, threw them on the floor, threw a couple of shoes left and right, and we went out. So I puzzled, waited, and then she said, that should be long enough, let's go back in. And there on the kitchen table were the tea towels and the rest of the stuff neatly folded.
Do you think it was somebody else in the family that done that, or she was just...
There was only Mum and myself there.
Right.
Which was very strange, but he would, if you lost anything, he was a great finder of keys.
Yeah.
But he was just a tidier up. I think he may have been a military man, but I'm trying to research him at the moment.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I never saw him.
But you think he might have lived in the house before... You were
it
there,
was his
yeah.
house before we moved in, yes.
Right.
Yeah, but it was a fabulous place to grow up. But it didn't worry me. So now if I encounter anything that's slightly weird or strange, you go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's weird, it's strange, I'll write about it. That's what I do now.
that would be a brilliant book, but you'd have to write something sort of maybe a little bit sinister in it. It'd be a short book, otherwise he folded up my washing. The end.
I'm not comfy with describing people's washing. That's an area I think I might have to leave alone. But yeah, if I can squeeze him in somewhere, just to give him some credit, because it's a little cornerstone of my childhood. I was quite proud of Mr. Goodman.
Yeah.
But I'd love to tell people more, but I simply don't know it yet. I'm going to research him and give him some credit, because I think he deserves it, bless him.
Joanna Lumley actually told a similar story. When she moved into a house, I can't remember what it was, but it was in the 70s, she said, as she was moving in, there was loads of people bringing in furniture, and she went to go through it, and there was a man at the door with a cap on, and he said, "Be gone from this place." And she went, she went in, and she said, "Who was that?" And there was nobody there. Mm. And she said... She went in and she said, "Look, you've just said be gone from this place." She said, "I'm living here. This is now my house. And if you're here, you can share it with me." Never had a problem. But she said she did that it was somebody that wasn't there. It wasn't anybody that was with the firm that were moving the stuff in. That's what she...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've got no problem with that. No. See, I don't need to question that.
No.
I don't know how they come back or what they do or what they want, but, you know, you're quite welcome.
I would have been in the van. Get my stuff out of the house. Drive as fast as you can. I would have frightened the life out of me.
He was terrifying. He told us to get away from this place. And if, you know, what did he look like? Well, he had a traffic warden's uniform.
I'm going to give you a ticket for that. Now, I want to talk about the book, but I've only got a minute before we come up to the news. So we're going to come back with Nicholas after the news.